aye.
Oops. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for March 1st, 2016. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Spoon, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Cutback, Rasmussen, Nick Camp, and Scarborough.
Thank you. We received word earlier this evening that Councilmember Hanford would be late. Councilmember Gamble is sick. Did we have Councilmember Davis is being out this evening? Okay, so Councilmember Davis was out. So without opposition, we will consider the three of them excused for now. Seeing none, let's go ahead and move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Scarborough, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per person. We have nobody who has signed up to speak. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cutback. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 0. The next item that we have on our agenda is unfinished business. This is AB 16026, Discussion Impact Fee Deferral System. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this is the impact fee deferral system topic, and it's been before the council a few times for discussion, and I think the council probably understands, I think, the basic issues. Let me do a real quick summary. So the state legislature passed a bill in the last legislative session last year requiring local governments that collect impact fees to amend their ordinances to allow for the deferral of impact fees or payment of impact fees. Right now, the city requires that payment to occur at the time the building permit's issued. Under the law, you have to allow an applicant to defer the payment of impact fees if they choose to either one of three options, final inspection, final occupancy, or closing of the first sale of the property. And for all intents and purposes, the final inspection, the final certificate of occupancy here in the city of Monroe occur at the same time. So really you have two choices in that respect. And so tonight, one other element of the actual bill that we're seeking some guidance tonight deals with the limit of annual deferrals that an applicant may have. And so under the law, it says that an applicant on an annual basis can have up to 20 deferrals, but that the local government can increase that to above 20. But the law also says that should you choose to increase that above 20, the law says that you have to consult with the school districts. And if the local government choose to increase the number of deferrals or allow the number of deferrals to go above 20, then you have to provide written justification to that school district for why you're doing that. Basically, the law says you have to give substantial weight to the recommendation of the school district. And so keeping in mind that we still have a process to go through, we're trying to get some preliminary direction from the council on where you want that time of payment, and then two, on the number of deferrals, we'll draft an ordinance, it'll go to the Planning Commission, we'll do more outreach, Planning Commission will get some testimony and provide you with a recommendation. So basically tonight, the goal would be to get some direction on the time period for the deferral, the whether or not you want to have a cap of 20 on the number of deferrals that are allowed. This was taken to the P4 committee last month, and one of the items that the P4 committee asked for was just some more outreach and more comments from some of the stakeholders and attachment. At the time, I thought it was a good idea to actually reduce this on the one page, but now I'm going to have a hard time reading this. So attachment 3 kind of summarizes some of the conversation with the school districts, the master builders, and some of the developers that either have been building homes, single-family dwellings in the city last year and will do so this year, and then a couple of developers that we anticipate to do some development for single-family homes during the course of this year as well. For the Monroe School District, The preferred time of deferral is final inspection, and we've been trying to set up a meeting and contacting them to talk about the number of deferrals, whether or not they want to cap it at 20 or recommend a cap at 20 or above that. We just haven't been able to connect to have that meeting yet. I've talked to the Snohomish School District. Their preference is final inspection for the time period of deferral, and yes, they would like to see a cap on the number of deferrals at 20. And then the master builders prefers closing and first sale as a time point for when deferrals should be allowed to. And they were going to contact their membership for feedback on whether or not there should be a cap of 20 or not. And then, interestingly, the four developers that we contacted that have done work in the city of Monroe, or we anticipate to do work this year, all basically said that as of now, they like the idea of the deferrals, but they don't plan to take advantage of it. And for them, it's more work in terms of recording a lien against the property, removing the lien, and at least one indicated that the amount of paperwork and the staff time or play time for them to actually do this means that they may actually have to hire another person to do the work. So some of them felt that this was a good tool for smaller builders, but for them specifically, they didn't think they would take advantage of it. So again, the idea tonight is just to get some preliminary direction on where, at what point in time, the deferral should be allowed to, and then whether or not there should be a cap on the number of deferrals at 20. Draft an ordinance, take it through the Planning Commission, get more testimony for the recommendation coming back to the City Council.
Okay. Thank you. And to clarify, first, let the record show that Councilmember Hanford entered the chambers at 7:03. Just to clarify, this is an option. So even though it is put into code, builders are not required to request to wait to participate in the deferment.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp and then Councilmember Cutterback. Councilmember Camp.
I guess I'm still confused about the advantage or disadvantage for the cap on deferrals. Advantages
to the city or to the applicant?
To whomever. Is it in the best interest of the applicant to be able to have as many deferrals as they want?
To some. I think to some, because
that's
they
fine.
Can defer the actual payment of the impact fee. If you go to the furthest point in time, which is closing the first sale,
right.
The proceeds from that, the seller has to pay the impact fees, and so the developer doesn't have to carry the loan for the impact fees. When the house sells, at that time, he or she can actually pay the impact fee.
Okay.
Now, whether 20 is a good number or not, I don't know. That was just what the legislature said.
But I guess I'm trying to visualize why 20, why not 30, why not 10, why not? I'm coming up with numbers and advantages and disadvantages that I'm not.
That's a great
understanding.
And I don't know. Other than
okay. Well, I didn't mean to
put you on the spot. That this legislation was taking place during the course of several years.
Okay.
And I think in 2013 it actually passed. It was vetoed by the governor. Came back. There's a lot of discussion between local governments, the school districts, and the development community. And I think 20 was just a compromise.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
In the information that you provided, you talked about the city of Marysville has had this program since 2012. And then the county has had it also. And the county, it sounded like not too many builders took advantage of the program. Only four homes utilized it when it was in effect. So do you know the number of Marysville, how successful it is, and how many deferrals they allow?
I do not.
Okay.
The answer is no, I don't know.
Okay. Do we have any information about other... Sorry, I'm eating on Altoid. Any other community, you got me started, Jim. Any other communities our size, the number of deferrals they have, what's kind of, I know the code says 20, but is there...
I don't. The number of communities our size, I do know a couple of things. For Marysville, there was this type of final inspection. The county actually implemented this during the Great Recession, but it's sunset. And so I actually don't know how many actual homes were applied for during that period of time.
Sure.
But four was the number they said took advantage of this.
Yeah.
I know Kirkland had a program or has a program, and during the Great Recession, I think they had were coming out of the great recession. I think they had over 100 single-family permits, and maybe 18 took advantage of the deferral program. So, and I know several other communities that had a deferral program. I just don't know how many builders took advantage of it during that time period. Okay. Keeping in mind, they put it into effect during the Great Recession, so you may not have had a lot of home building going on during that time period at all anyway.
Okay. And it seems like we haven't gotten a lot of feedback on how many deferrals these parties were interested in.
Right, because if they weren't inclined to take advantage of it to begin
they
with,
didn't even
the
care
number
about
of
that.
Deferrals didn't matter too much to them.
And you said the school district said 20, they thought 20.
The Homer School District.
Okay, but Monroe hadn't, because their letter didn't specify.
No, and their letter said we'd like to talk to you about it. I exchanged emails and phone conversations, but we just haven't, they want to have a meeting, but we just haven't had a chance to have that meeting yet.
And then my other question is, for the time allowed, the deferral time period, we can choose one or more, correct?
That's what the legislation says. You have to have offered one or more.
I mean, at least one, but you could offer more alternatives.
Right. But from a staff standpoint, this is going to be easier to have
one.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's all my questions for now.
Thank you. All right. Are there any other questions? Okay. Does anybody? So we're supposed to show deference to what the school districts.
Right. A substantial weight to the recommendation of the school district.
Okay. And we have one school district that actually both school districts on item number one have requested A at final inspection or at C of O.
Correct. But the substantial weight goes to the cap issue.
Goes to the cap issue. Okay. All right, so we have one school district that prefers not to have, that prefers to keep it to the 20 per year cap.
Correct.
Okay, and the other one has not responded yet.
Correct.
All right, so why don't we start with that. Council, would you prefer to have a 20 per year cap? Is there anybody that is, Councilmember Cutterback?
I think reaching out to the school district and finding out what they are looking at, because if we're going to give them deference to their number, I think that's important to know.
The Snohomish School District said 20, which is why I don't know that we want to have two different caps.
Well, that was my question too, is the Snohomish City, whether our school district crosses over into the county. Is it just the county, is that it, or is there...
No, portions of the Snohomish School District are actually within the city limits of Monroe. Right.
Right.
And that's actually where some development is taking place.
But also, what the Monroe School District asked for in their letter is for us to be consistent with the other, you know, the county, whatever they come up with, because then... So I guess knowing what other parties are doing, too, might be helpful.
Right. I think their wording was that they were asking the other local governments within the school districts to follow what their recommendation was on the time of the deferral.
The final inspection.
Within their school district, right.
Okay. So, Mr. Osaki, you're going to be, what are the next steps on this?
Well, once we get some direction on time of deferral and the caps, we can draft an ordinance and then take it through the environmental review process, go to the Planning Commission, public hearing, notification of more stakeholders, and then Planning Commission recommendation to the City Council for action.
Okay, and we are under a timeline by the state by which council will need to adopt something, and that timeline is it September 1st?
September 1st.
Okay. So working backwards, if we haven't heard from the Monroe School District, because I think that's the only entity that we're waiting to hear from, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so working backwards, what would be a cutoff date by which we need to make a decision as to how we're going to draft this ordinance and get it through the review process?
Well, the schedule there's a tentative schedule at the very end of the agenda bill that actually has the ordinance being effective prior to July 1.
Mm-hmm.
So July 1, August. We have a little bit of time because there's like two planning commission workshops built into this during the course of end of March, early May, and or early April. And so we have to go through the environmental review process, 60-day notification to the state. But I still think there's about I think there's some time built into that, about a month at least.
Okay.
Where we are right now.
So unless you get direction, so if council is not in a position to give direction this evening, what we can do and still keep the same schedules, we can bring this back March 8th or March 15th and still stay within the schedule. Is that correct?
I think so, because the Planning Commission workshops assumed that the council would have at least some preliminary direction, but I could actually have a workshop with the Planning Commission in advance of this coming back to the Planning Commission, so the Planning Commission is pretty briefed on this, so okay. There's a chance to save some time in that respect as well.
Okay.
So you're right.
One of the things we could do then is we could respect the request comments from the school district maybe by the
15th.
By the 15th and still meet the time frame here.
Correct.
Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you want direction tonight, based on the information that I've gone through, I would say final inspection, cap it at 20, and charge a modest admin fee.
Okay. Does anybody oppose that direction?
Barring that the school district comes back and they have a different number for the cap, which I doubt they would, but if they come back, then...
Okay.
Majority, it seemed like the builders were going to not utilize this, and the others said final inspection. Now, the master builders did say closing the first sale, but they were going to go back to their membership. So we still have time, but based on the information tonight, that's the direction I would give.
Okay, does anybody disagree with that direction? Okay, so we'll proceed that direction. If we get information that is different than that, from the school district or from the master builders, we'll bring that back and share it.
That will work,
yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next item on the agenda is council member reports. All right. We did not have a city council finance and human resources committee meeting this evening for lack of quorum. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and put the strategic financial planning that was on for committee this evening onto the agenda for next week, unless there's opposition to that. Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll add that to the March 8th agenda. So let's just go ahead and Councilmember Camp, Snohomish County Tomorrow Steering Committee.
Oh, we just wait and just roll through.
Okay, Councilmember Scarborough, individual report.
Nothing to report.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Are you trying for some time there?
Yeah. What can I say? Okay. Well, I'll do the Snohomish County Tomorrow report. I attended my first meeting last Thursday, and a brief discussion they had, their election of officers and appointments of citizen representatives. We went through a discussion about sub-regional centers. The regional center is defined as a focal area within a city or community that is a mix of housing, employment, retail, and entertainment uses. Pedestrian-oriented, which allows people to walk to different destinations or attractions, and it puts focus on those areas. The sub-regional centers are areas which are not designated as regional centers and have been the subject of planning investments or have experienced significant population or employment growth. One thing I noticed from the diagrams they had up there is all the regional and sub-regional centers, unless I got it wrong, are on the Everett-Seattle-Tacoma corridor. There is nothing in East County. And I asked, and I couldn't get a good answer on why there aren't any regional or sub-regional centers. So I was going to ask Brad, since he tends to know everything, if he had any ideas on this subject.
Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Osaki, would you have that information? Know anything? And if I'm putting on the spot, I absolutely apologize, and I will stop the question right there.
Well, you are to some extent, okay. Because everywhere I've been before has been like at least a sub-regional center.
Really? Okay.
And it tends to be biased towards I-5 or the Valley, because those are places that have major transportation linkages or options. So part of the Puget Sound Regional Council philosophy or vision is a series of centers that are interconnected by high-capacity transit.
So and I was wondering about that, whether or not the transit was a key part of it, because they talk about the pedestrian aspect, but the regional centers are all spread out.
But I can get into that a little bit more, but the Vision 2040, which is our regional transportation plan and land use plan, talks about high-capacity transit connecting centers, pedestrian-oriented, walkable centers. And so I'll look into that because the reason the role may be left out is because there's no high-capacity transit that really serves this area that links it to some of the other centers within the region.
Okay. So it is. So it wasn't just the pedestrian aspect of it.
Pedestrian is part of the vision for these centers.
Right.
So, I think our vision is very much a walkable Main Street downtown area. But as part of the regional strategy, I can almost recite the type, a series of centers linked together by high capacity transit,
right,
which means either regional express bus transit, light rail, and possibly commuter rail. And we're out of that area.
Okay. I'm hoping I can connect with one of the committees looking into that so I can get more information. I just would like to see what it would take. And you've given me some examples of what it would take to have some regional or sub-regional center out here. But I want to know why we're not extending past I-5.
I have a staff contact, so I'll
try to get it. If you have any information, that'd be helpful. Please.
So, being designated that, does that give you some priority of funding, or is there some reason we would want to get to
that's my understanding? And you also get direction, you have more of a focus in terms of future plans, and
so
I'm not sure about grants, but yeah, right.
Okay.
I think it would be a good thing for any area, but it just concerns me this just that corridor, and it doesn't extend out into any of the counties. I didn't see anything in East King County either when they had the example, but I'm not talking about the Bellevue area. I'm just talking about the
203. You're talking about 203?
Right. Okay. The other items that they had, Marysville gave a discussion of their comprehensive plan presentation. Apparently they flooded an area and gave instant waterfront property to a bunch of homes. That was the high point I took away from that.
On purpose.
They took out part of a dike.
Yes.
And
or a levee.
The high tide floods it, and they spent quite a bit of money turning it back into a swamp, I guess. Okay. The last thing was the 522 development in North Lake Washington area, which I think you described in your Monroe this week.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I
was a little bit confused about why that had an impact on Maltby. So I was going to ask.
Are we talking about ST3 or?
If it was the 5, I don't know. I'm trying to remember from your. I just glanced at your note, but I thought it was the same thing.
Why don't you describe it a little bit more to me?
It was just the development area for 522 in the Bothell Lake City Way area.
Yeah, they're working on something called ST3, Sound Transit 3. Is that what it is? Is they want to extend the high capacity off the I-5 corridor and into the Bothell area. If does that sound familiar? Or
it does, but it's on 522. I thought there was okay, and that has an impact on Maltby, your Maltby area. The 522, the hour class we had. Okay, maybe I just misunderstood. Whatever.
No. There's a connection in that. In order to help justify and make the ST3 work, as I understand it, where you've got the spine, which is I-5, mm-hmm. which is what you're just talking about, and the ribs. One of the parts of the ribs very close to the spine is this ST3 where it goes to Bothell. And in order to make that node work, you've got to be able to have good transportation network to the east, like to Woodinville, to Maltby, to Monroe. And that's how that 522 discussion in Maltby come into play. if we're talking about the same thing.
Okay, I just was curious if I should be tracking this as, you know, at the organization.
Yes.
For the whole Maltby connection.
But yeah, I think it makes sense because if nothing else, if they're talking about increasing commercial, industrial, that kind of stuff,
right.
We may have people that live here in Monroe that may commute to that area for work.
Okay, so I'll make a note.
Yeah.
Check on that with the committee. And that was about it.
And lastly, Bothell did support us in the 522 asks.
Okay.
It would be good for us to be cognizant of what's going on in their city as well.
Okay. And personal report? I have nothing to report this week.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Asmundson?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
I will be attending the community transit board, new board member orientation tomorrow from 1:30 to 5. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I'll be attending the affordable housing breakfast in about a week and a half, maybe.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Staff, Mr. Worthen. Ms. Nelson.
Nothing tonight.
Mr. Osaki.
This tomorrow. Wait a second. Thursday. I'm getting the dance
mixed up. You feel me, bro.
No, it's actually tomorrow.
No, it's Thursday.
I don't know what day it is.
March 3rd.
One of the items that the council and the mayor have been interested in is permit processing and improving our permit processes. And so we've invited the master builders, several developers, many smaller contractors to a stakeholder meeting. It's either tomorrow or Thursday. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Yeah. come in. And I'll begin to outline some of the elements of what I think make good permit processing and get some feedback on that and begin to prioritize some of the improvements or what I think we need to look at to improve our permit processes, whether it's customer service ethic or code amendments or forms and applications. So we begin to get a blueprint or path to implement some of these improvements.
Thank you. Yeah, anything further? New applications in? Anything new to report?
Not new applications. There's definitely still a lot of interest in residential development. We've had some pre-application meetings over the last couple of months on some plats involving over 100 lots each.
Okay. So we've still got a lot going on. Yep. All right. Chief? Thank you. Mr. Feilberg.
Just one thing, if you haven't been driving up either Cane Lake Road or Woods Creek, you can see that the turning place is coming quite along the site the curbs are in. They were supposed to put the ATV down today, asphalt treated base, but it rained a little bit too hard for that. But if you're on Woods Creek Road, you'll notice that one of the signal poles and mast arms is up, and the thing's huge. so they're hopefully, if there's a break in the rain tomorrow, they can make the road last. So, and they're expecting now the 50% chance of being completed is the end of March, probably 100% chance is the middle of April.
Thank you. Mr. Scarborough.
Councilmember Scarborough. Brad, once they're done doing the pavement and the sidewalks for that, will they repave the intersection at Oak, Woods Creek, and Turney Way?
No.
So are they going to fix the holes that go across the streets that are rather deep where they ran conduit?
Oh, and that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Part of the project. Because yeah. That's the resurfacing of the street, I think, is a 2017 or 18 project after we finished the trail on Woods Creek Road.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Coming up here, I went ahead and put in Monroe this week again. And so I'd ask you to take a look at that and just give you a summary of some of the things from last week. We did finish up the month last month, obviously, so we'll probably be updating our Monroe by the numbers with this coming Monroe this week. If not, it'll be next week. You'll see in there that I attended SCIT last week. I think I mentioned that to you. That was we were talking about 522 and Highway 2, and if you recall, Mr. Walzer had mentioned extending 526 from Boeing to Eastern Washington and beyond, including tunneling through the Cascades as part of the discussion. We have an RFP out right now for concessionaires and you did see that the Monroe Propulsion Cable Park that had been tentatively scheduled for March 3rd, we're now looking at the end of March or beginning of April, and I think we talked about that last week, and then the Turning Place extension's in there right now. You can see the curbs have gone in, and we'll keep you posted on how that's going. Also, over the weekend, I was contacted by our lobbyists. I was informed that Senator Pearson was going to... Friday. So Thursday last week, I became aware of a Tiger grant application deadline that was coming up. This is a grant that relates to transportation projects through the federal government. And as I've stated before, you know, it doesn't matter to me who funds and improves 522. We just want it done. And so when both our lobbyist and also Representative Christensen's office forwarded me that information midweek last week, by Friday, I had asked staff to put together a letter that we sent to County Executive Summers requesting respectfully that the county and the state work together to put together a grant application for funding, if nothing else, at least design for 522 for the widening. And so that went out on Friday. It'll be in your email. I encourage you to look at it. Today, while at the Snohomish County campus, I bumped into the county executive, and we talked a little bit about how I'm going to ask for a meeting with him to go over that. Since the deadline is the end of April, we need to meet on this and get this thing moving. I did have some conversation with our lobbyists about sort of rather than sending a formal letter on Friday, us kind of working things in the background, and I felt that with only 8 weeks, we didn't have enough time to do that. We also talked about talking to staff rather than sending something to the executive, and again, I didn't feel that we had 2 to 4 weeks to go back and forth with staff at the county level. I felt that it was better just to go ahead and contact the county executive, so that's what I decided to do on Friday. But the executive, when I spoke with him today, was very interested. I'm hoping that we can have a meeting with him in the next week or two and talk with him about getting some sort of joint application with the state in for Tiger Grant discretionary funds. Now, with that said, Mr. Feilberg, earlier this evening when I came in to work here, pointed out that there are two other grant applications that we became aware of maybe the middle of last week, both of which could be used for aspects of 522. And the deadline for that is Sunday.
Monday,
March 7th. March 7th. Okay, so that's a week from yesterday. Gave us a week and a half to apply. Brad will be sending me a third-party email that I will forward to the executive's office as a follow-up today or tomorrow, this evening or tomorrow, probably tomorrow at this point, so that we can wrap that into the conversation. Actually, we can't do that because the deadline is this coming week. But so we're trying to find every funding source that we can to piece together elements, whether it's design, practical design, so on, you know, making stormwater improvements, road surface improvements to help piece together this project. So over the weekend, then, going back to Senator Pearson, I received word from Mr. Wall, our lobbyist, that Senator Pearson had expressed an interest in going to the floor for a requested amendment to the transportation budget, $300,000 toward the practical design. And remember last week, Councilmember Camp, I think you'd asked the question, you know, can we have some sort of roadmap about, you know, you've got this concept sketch, which the House came forward with. You've got a practical design, you've got construction design and engineering, and then you've got permits, and then you've got construction about where all these things go. And I, as we mentioned last week, you can pick anywhere in there because the lower level grants for construction somehow require elements of things above that, and it just depends upon where you get the funding. So to go from the concept sketch that the House has right now to the practical design, that's where we were trying to go, would be an improvement, because we'd have more detailed review than the concept sketch would be, which would put us one step closer to engineering, design, permitting, construction. So I'm very happy to report that Senator Pearson, at last communication this afternoon, still intends to go out on the floor, hasn't done it yet, to do the amendment, and a request was made of me to contact the executive's office to see if the executive could reach out to Senator Hobbs and Senator Leas to express his support. So this evening, when I got into work here, I did have a personal conversation with the county executive and made that ask of him. He said that he would make the phone calls tomorrow, and so I thank him and Senator Pearson for all the work that they're doing in trying to push forward the practical design and the $300,000 for that. I will I'll get an update to folks once that is made, and you know, again, this is to the Senate budget. There's still a process where if it does get approved in the Senate budget, it still needs to be compared with the House, and happy joy votes and everything need to happen. So these are very, very important steps. They're not the final until the two bodies have voted and the governor has allowed it to go through without veto. So it's a long process. We've got folks working on this both here and also in Olympia and also county executive right now. So that's where that is. Does anybody have any questions about any of that? Councilmember Scarborough?
No, I wanted to go back to this when you're done with that.
Okay. The other thing for me for this week, I have, I'll be going to PSRC tomorrow, Puget Sound Regional Council in Seattle, meeting at 1:30 for the Economic Development, EDD, Economic Development Group, and that'll be a couple-hour meeting tomorrow. I do have the agenda for it and everything, but I will provide that to you in your packets this Friday so that you can review the material. It's a briefer packet. There's basically introductions for the new members and things like that. It is a quarterly meeting, and I did have a teleconference meeting to approve an RFP about 2 weeks ago. Anyway, I'll get you more information next week after I've gone through the meeting. But there isn't anything that's policy related right now for me to ask you for your feedback on. All right, Councilmember Scarborough.
On the Monroe Propulsion Park, does the postponement of groundbreaking have any impact on the contract or their timeline? They're expected to do the work and get the park up and going?
Mr. Brazel will respond.
It does not at this point in time.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay. So that's a rundown of some of the things I've been working on here. We will now go ahead and, Mr. Brazel, why don't you take the lobbyist report and then the draft agenda.
The lobbyist report was in your packet. I don't foresee any action this evening from council. If you have any questions, I can try and field those, or I can work with our lobbyists to get answers by tomorrow at the latest.
And folks did note that of the capital requests on the page one, the Lake Tai Park athletic facilities, that was not included in either of the proposed budgets, Senate or House. We will continue to work on that if that's something that council would like to do, and I certainly would like to do it in the 2017, the longer session. I think that this is something we need. It's in our comprehensive plan now, and certainly the state funding a portion of that would be appreciated, but that's one thing that is final at this point. Okay, go ahead.
And that's all I actually have.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Councilmember Cutaback.
You're talking about the lobbyist report?
Yes.
So in the SR 522 section, I'm trying to make sense with what you were saying, Mayor Thomas, and what's included in here. So it said the House has passed their proposed budget.
Yes.
So in the House budget, did it include the $300,000?
No. What it included in the House budget was that of the federal money that we get, about $1 million for, was it TABS? Yeah, it was something, motor vehicle tax that we get from the federal government, the state gets from the government. A total of $1 million comes to the state. That a proviso was added. The proviso said that of this $1 million, that priority will be given to 522.
Okay, but they didn't designate an amount.
Right, and it was for a corridor sketch. So they, yeah, a couple things. One, it's a full $1 million for the whole state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two, it's a corridor sketch. And then three, while it does say prioritize 522, which is great, what it doesn't do is it doesn't say that here's $100,000 for a corridor sketch.
Okay. That's what I just wanted to make sure, because it, I mean, in the first sentence it's saying well-positioned for success. And then it talked about, you know, just saying that they've released widening, you know, to the project description, then that they passed their budget, but it didn't say an amount there. So the budget didn't say an amount.
So let's divide that up into a couple questions. One, budget's released adding widening SR 522 to the project description. So if I'm not mistaken, the connecting Washington account had the interchange available for the $10 million for design in 2025, okay. So the $10 million was available for the interchange in 2025. One of our asks was that the $10 million be made available to not just the interchange, but also the widening. So as I'm reading that, and let me know if I'm misreading this, is that the connecting Washington's account, that both the Senate and House transportation budgets made it possible so that the widening phase could also be available, could also qualify for part of or the all of the $10 million in 2025. Did I get that right?
That's what I understand.
Okay. Okay, so that's what that is. That was one of the hurdles that we were trying to overcome, one of the revisions that we were trying to make to the Connecting Washington transportation bill that was adopted last year. And so it appears that there's success there if both of those budgets are adopted as proposed. But yeah, everything else, the $1 million, that was the proviso that we just talked about, and the $300,000 for practical design is the new thing.
Well, we asked for the $300,000 out of that $10 million to be released early. I thought that was the original ask.
We did ask for the $10 million to be made available sooner than 2025.
So that has not been agreed upon?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The $300,000, the $300,000 is not part of the $10 million. As I'm understanding it from the conversation that I had on the phone, the $300,000, I'm not certain of the source, but it's not part of the $10 million. That's what I'm understanding right now. You're welcome.
Brian told me to.
Okay, that's what Gene for the recording has said. That's what Brian told him to. All right, any other questions? Okay, so go ahead. Are we done with the lobbyist report?
Yeah, I think so.
So let's go over the agendas for the upcoming weeks.
Okay, so I got the draft agenda for March 8th, 2016. Right after the Pledge of Allegiance, we have an executive session. Legal counsel Mr. Lau will be calling in for that. And then under announcements and presentations, we have the Monroe Community Coalition be here to speak. We have the consent agenda. Under new business, we'll be discussing the downtown mini grant program and the art policy. We've added the strategic financial plan as number 2 under new business. And we have council member reports.
Under the mayor administrative reports, we'll add in PSRC economic development.
District.
Is it district?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. I was surprised to see the EDD on there when I was looking at it today. Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Gene, the Board of Health meeting for March is actually moved to March 15th, so I can do my report on then.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further? All right, the extended agenda. Any changes or requests for the extended agenda? All right, see none. Do you have anything further, Mr. Brazel?
I do. Under the land sale, while I can't dive into particulars, Mr. Osaki did field a call this week. We did have an interested party in a piece of property at North Kelsey. It's preliminary. That's been turned over to Jane. Jane is providing information, and as soon as we have anything solid or even firm, I'll report out on that. But just so everybody knows that we do have somebody poking around, which is great news.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Do we have any anybody that has an interest in the old Albertsons building?
Not to my knowledge, but you know, we may or may not hear about that stuff. Mr. Osaki might be able to answer that better. Albertsons building, if you've heard of anything.
Is there any interest in the old Albertsons building?
No. I haven't heard anything directly. Actually, what I heard from the owner of the property probably about 2 months ago, calling here to ask us if we knew of anyone that might have interest in the building. So the answer is no.
Any other questions? Mr. Brazel, do you have anything else?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We do have a need for an executive session this evening. The executive session is for potential litigation. RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, for approximately 15 minutes. I'd like Mr. Osaki, Chief Quinzer, Mr. Feilberg, and do we need anybody else besides everybody up here to remain in the room? And we are back in session. There is no further business required this evening. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Camp with a second from from Councilmember Hanford with a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Five.
Five. Thank you.
Aye.
Zero.
We are adjourned. Thank you. Have a great evening.
I will ask him to verify if that did not occur. I'm just referring to you as you put him in a computer terminal at City Hall sometime.
Yeah.
Just
to
clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably on your phone.
Okay, good. Thank you. Oh, that's good.